This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is hour number two of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and we've got an absolutely tremendous hour coming up for you as we're going to be joined in 15 minutes by a man that does a great job of being able to take a look at this great game of baseball, and Scott Bonder. He does great work over at FantasyGuru.com. We're going to be taking a look at what is now an 18-game slate in Major League Baseball. I am a lover of day baseball, and there's going to be no shortage of it. There's going to be no shortage of night baseball either. So that makes me very, very happy, and we're going to be breaking that down in 15 minutes. We have seen a lot in terms of the NBA, and we'll be recapping that in the next few minutes as we've got ourselves a lot of moves that are going down, and there's musical chairs happening all over the place, and there's musical chairs happening in the NFL as well. Our NFL betting guide dropped today here at VSiN. If you have yet to do so, you want to sign up for a VSiN Pro subscription. You get everything that we do here at the network for $175 all through the Super Bowl, including that amazing guide that'll get you set up for success for this NFL season. So we're going to continue the game that is right now sweeping the nation. Greg's Random NFL Roulette, where I just pick a team, I go to random.org, I randomize list, whatever team's on top, that's the team that gets previewed. We are doing all 32 teams here over the next 16 nights. This is night number 7 of the extravaganza, so we're going to have ourselves a lot of good, clean, family fun on that front. So we're going to have a great time there, and we've got ourselves a lot to be taking a look at in general in the world of sports, and a team that does a great job of being able to bring it to you all is everyone here at VSiN, the folks behind the scenes. They are the best in the business at what they do, and they always set me up for success. You've got my producer, Adam, who does a great job of being able to keep things in line for me, booking these great guests, and making sure that I'm staying on point. Corey, here's here in studio. He does an amazing job of making sure that I am not straying off the beaten path, that I have everything that I need for success. So both of them do an amazing job on that front. And then this might be the most difficult task here at the network, making myself look halfway presentable in a video slash moving picture format. If you're watching on YouTube TV, VSiN.com, somehow, some way, we have not had any cameras break or anything like that. The graphics and the numbers are always very on point, and that's a big thanks to Alexis, who does an amazing job as our technical director. And then if you're listening on SiriusXM channel 158, might be listening after the fact as well. Every single hour of every single show is available in podcast form, vsin.com/podcast, or wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, list goes on and on. Chris, he does an amazing job of making sure that everything sounds crisp and clean. So big thanks to everyone behind the scenes. They are the best in the business, and because they do such a great job, I need to be on point with everything that I am doing, and the Milwaukee Bucks are hoping that they're on point with their moves as a big giant shakeup happened on Tuesday. They decided to move on from Damian Lillard. They're going to be eating north of $100 million, and they're going to be spreading that out over the next few years, and they've decided that they are going to be bringing in Miles Turner from the Indiana Pacers. Very interesting move, to say the least, from this bunch, with Miles Turner obviously quite a bit of versatility, with him being at 6'11", and so being able to bury about 39.5% of his series. And I think the big question I have is, how is he and Bobby Portis going to really be able to coexist? Because we did see the Bucks decide to re-sign him, as well as they've got two very similar skill sets, if I were to say so. Maybe I'm a little bit off base with that, but for this Milwaukee Bucks team, it is very clear that they're going to be going with a lot of size and a lot of length. Like, I think that Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be re-signing with the Milwaukee Bucks. I just can't see him going elsewhere, but you just take a look at this team. You've got now Miles Turner, you've got Bobby Portis, you've got Giannis Antetokounmpo, and then you also have Kyle Kuzma still in the fold. He's right around about 6'9" or so, so you've got a whole bunch of guys that are able to really space things out. I still believe that Taurean Prince is on the roster as well. He's a little bit of a, shall we say, smaller guy, but he's willing to be able to get his nose dirty, what have you, so I think that the overall length of the Milwaukee Bucks is really something to behold. And with Miles Turner and his overall skill set, I think that that's big, because they relied a lot on Gary Trent Jr. in terms of three-point shooting this past season, and he was rock solid. I don't know if you can count on him shooting north of 41% from three-point range once again. So it's a very interesting look for a Bucks team that is in an East that is very, very winnable, in my opinion. The Cleveland Cavaliers, I would say that they have to be the favorite right now in terms of the betting line. They are +260 to win the Eastern Conference. I just don't think that there is really a lot of teams that have separated themselves. The Atlanta Hawks have made some interesting moves with signing Nikhil Alexander-Walker. They trade for Kristaps Porzingis, so seems like they're going for it. And with the Detroit Pistons, again, they are going to be bringing in Duncan Robinson. Felt like they needed some three-point shooting last year, and they picked up one of the best shooters overall in the draft as well as Chaz Lanier, who is really good at Tennessee. He comes over as well, so I think that that's very big for this team as well, and I do think that with regards to what you're going to be seeing out east, it's going to be very wide open. If you're looking for the best value, probably take some long shots, and I will say it once again. I said it in hour number one. I'll say it again. This team either presents the most or the least value in terms of futures market. That'd be the Philadelphia 76ers. If you get Joel Embiid for a full season for the 76ers and you don't have any tomfoolery or any injuries, then 10-1 is very live for them to win the East. If Joel Embiid is injured during the postseason, 10-1 is right now feeling like a pile of dog poop. So that's where you're at with the 76ers. It's hit or miss. You're not going to be getting a lot of in between, as it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You're going to be getting a lot of just sports in general tonight. We're going to be breaking down some great baseball games, but you do want to be noting what we're all getting at the network with regards to the betting splits, because every single game across every single major sport, we're able to give you these tremendous betting splits that come straight from the source. Circa along DraftKings, it gives you insights as to where the sharp action is landing, because Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings is providing a more broader market perspective. So you're getting the real action, not just where the public money is landing, but the sort of wagers that move lines. You're able to see percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game and every single major sport, helping you make smarter and more informed bets. Get our exclusive betting splits for as low as $9.99 for your first month over at vsin.com/subscribe. That is vsin.com/subscribe. As it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. And I've got a thought on this game that is involving a bunch that has really been struggling this year, and I feel like they've just been mispriced all season long, and I cannot trust the man that is on the mound for this team. How about if we go 973, 974 on the card? It is the LA Angels on the road. They are facing off against the Atlanta Braves, as it's Didier Fuentes on the bump for the Bravos and Mr. Yusei Kikuchi. I say he's starting for the LA Angels, and total on this game, it is 9.5, opened up at a 9 for the Atlanta Braves. They're between minus 134 to minus 144 favorites, and they neighbored about plus 120 or so is that number on the Angels, and I don't know if you could trust Didier Fuentes. I can't trust Didier Fuentes. He is making his third career MLB start after making one start at the minor league level. He wasn't even necessarily amazing at the double A level. Like, I don't know why he's getting the start. I don't know why they sent him up to the big league level. I don't know why they gave him start number one. I don't know why they gave him start number two. I don't know why he's getting a third start. Like, it's absolutely befuddling to me. Like, they have other options at the minor league level. Heck, the Dodd father, Dylan Dodd, was a starter for them 2 years ago. They've got him coming out of the bullpen right now. Like, I don't understand why you're starting Didier Fuentes. Like, this is a team that should be going for the playoffs. They have underachieved all season long, and now they've decided, but let's not out there the 20-year-old in Didier Fuentes. He's clearly not ready, posting up a 1080 ERA. Like, I don't get this. Like, why are we throwing out their Didier Fuentes again? You've seen him for two starts. He's gotten a taste of the MLB level. He's not ready, and they're going to throw him out there once again. And you've got a guy in Yusei Kikuchi who is a pro's pro that needs to work on the walks. He's given up about 4 walks per 9 innings. He's been able to get up to about 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, but was lacking that swing and miss stuff towards the beginning part of the season, and I will say this, if you have any trepidations with the LA Angels in this game, it's the bullpen. And yeah, the bullpen has not been great, to say the least. You do have a guy in Hunter Strickland who's been able to give you a sub-3.75 ERA, and Brock and Roll Burke is down to a sub-4 ERA, so yay, verily there, but those are pretty much the lone two guys in the bullpen that are giving you a sub-4 ERA that have thrown at least 10 innings this far this season. Now, I will say Reed Detmers has been quite a bit better recently. Kenley Jansen is starting to look not completely as awful, so that's a good thing. But for the LA Angels, I was talking about an all or nothing a minute ago. The 76ers were I'm going to bring it full circle, because that is this LA Angels offense. With the LA Angels, they are a top two team in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis. They're a bottom two team in the big leagues in terms of on-base percentage as well. Like, look no further than a guy like a Taylor Ward. Entered into Tuesday with 20 home runs, about a 270 on base. Logan Ohapi. I am very Ohapi that he's got 17 home runs. Not so Ohapi about the sub 270 on base. Even Mike Trout has had a little bit of a tough time moving the line thus far this season. So, I mean, that's been the case for this team. Now, Joe Adell has been amazing. I mean, this guy is now giving you 15 plus home runs. He was incredibly hot in the month of June. And for the Atlanta Braves, they've got Ronald Acuna Jr. back. He's been able to give you 9 home runs in his first, like, 6 or so weeks since coming back up to the big league level. He has been rock solid, but I mean, you still have a bunch that has been mediocre on offense. It goes back to Michael Harris and Ozzie Albies doing nothing, and Harris has given you less than a 250 on base. Like, he's just not cutting it this year. And then the likes of Eli White, along with a few other sorts of bottom of the fold, not cutting it. When Drake Baldwin's been out there at the catcher spot, he's been good. He's actually been able to give you 9 bombs worth of 340 on base. Like what he's providing, and this is a Braves bullpen that ever since the beginning of the month of May, they've been a top 12 team in terms of bullpen ERA. They've been dealing with the injury to Desbel Hernandez, but you've had these guys like a Dylan Lee, and you've been able to get good innings out of Aaron Bummer. Guys like this give you a sub 325 ERA, so that's been pretty rock solid for this bunch. But that said, for the Atlanta Braves, throwing out their DDA Fuentes, I think, is going to put them in an almighty hole. And you say Kikuchi has been able to do a nice job of hunkering down. Now, I am going to be one to take a shot on the under. Semi-total 9.2. This opened up at a 9. I was able to get there on a 9. I just can't quite get there on a 9.5. But again, I'm not going to be able to get there on the Atlanta Braves because they're throwing out their DDA Fuentes. So, going to be looking at the Angels on the money line. And I'm going to be taking a look at this total under as well. And, hey man, it's just been mediocre for the Atlanta Braves, a team that is currently further back in the National League wildcard race right now than the Miami Marlins. When did you think that we would be saying that on June 1st, going to be June 2nd? So that tells you what sort of an MLB season we are having, but we are going to have ourselves a great time talking about this sport next as Scott Bodner, he does a tremendous job over at Fantasy Gurus. We're going to be taking a look at what is a very expansive Wednesday MLB slate with him on the flip side on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and it is great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line as we've got Scott Bodner. He does a tremendous job over at fantasyguru.com, taking a look at this great game of baseball. And Scott, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for letting me join tonight. It's exciting time to have all this baseball going on with Mother Nature getting some extra games tomorrow.
Oh, no question about it. 18 games in total, and as I always like to say, if the day ends in Y, we need a day game. Well, we've got much more than one day game, and it feels like you're going to be taking advantage of that side of the card, as well as the earliest game on the card is actually the Athletics versus Rays game. There's only one game, and yet it is still the earliest game. Right now with the Rays, you're finding them in the neighborhood about minus 220 in a lot of spots, and the total is coming in right around about a 9. How do you take a look at this Athletics versus Rays game, as we've seen the Athletics actually provide a relatively solid effort here in the first two games of the series?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this game here. I mean, I've always backed up the Rays pitching most of the season, but I think in this game here with the weather, I might have some issues. It looks like the wind's going to be up again. This ballpark has played well for runs, so I'm going to take you over. I'm seeing 8.5, maybe even 9. I think the game is going to be a pitcher's like nightmare when it comes to the wind, and then obviously the temperature is going to be up because there's a tropical storm in the area. I think the humidity is going to help with the fly balls. A batter like Brent Rooker and a one and a half total bases is somewhere I'd also like to look at taking that prop in this game.
Yep, and Brent Rooker has been just so good in terms of being a move line, get on base, and we have noticed with the Athletics, they've also been able to pitch a little bit better when they've been away from home rather than when they've been at home, but they feel right at home right now because they're playing in a non-major league ballpark. I'm not going to call it a minor league ballpark because this is actually the spring training shall we say, ballpark of the New York Yankees, but certainly strange circumstances there. And there's a strange circumstances when it comes to a lot of these double dips, as the Milwaukee Brewers and the New York Mets are going to be playing one of them. And right now with the Milwaukee Brewers, it's going to be Freddy Peralta in game number one. The Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, is going to be going in game number two. And I know that you've fleshed out one of these games. Take me through which of these games of the double dip you're really going to be looking at and what you all like in terms of Brewers versus Mets.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first game, game one, Peralta has a good shot of getting 5.5 over Ks, if you can find that. He's had 6 Ks in several outings this year. In fact, 3 out of his last 4, he's actually had over 6 strikeouts. This Mets team has just been railing over the last couple weeks. This doesn't seem like this team that was in the, you know, NCLS last year. So I think I can go with Peralta, and then I'll also back that up with the money line. I think the Brewers, and with behind Peralta can take advantage of this slumping Mets team at this point. Historically these bats, the top 3 bats in this lineup are 3-for-25 against Peralta. So I like the Mets, to continue to slump, and I'll take Peralta's 5.5 and then the Brewers money line at -130 at this point.
Yep, I do like that look with the Mets. It has been all sorts of brutal, and game number two might not be getting easier with Jacob Mizorowski going, and it was looking like Blade Tidwell was going to get the start, but he's now been apparently not starting. He might be a bulk guy. Who knows what's going to be happening with the Mets? They'll probably figure that out in the AM, but probably not going to be great for them, to say the least. And this has actually been relatively great. The Pirates have now won 5 straight games. Like, I do not know where teams like the Marlins and the Pittsburgh Pirates are finding this from, but all of a sudden the Pirates have won 5 straight games. But as we know, momentum is as good as your next day's starting pitcher. And for the St. Louis Cardinals, they've got Sonny Gray on the bump, and it's going to be Mitch Keller going for the Pirates, right around about -130 to -140, that number on the Cardinals. How do you take a look at this one, and do you think that the Pirates could continue to get this winning streak continued to go, or do you think that the Pirates can continue to have this win streak continue to go?
Well, I do like Sonny Gray a lot tomorrow. I mean, the guy was one blue pit away from a perfect game last outing, with that complete game, 11 strikeouts. It was just unbelievable. And he's been like this the last couple outings. He's been pretty much turning it around. He's only given up one run over the last 14 innings. He did blow up about three outings ago. He gave up 6 runs. But before that, he was still dominant. I do like St. Louis. The concern I have is it looks like Contreras is out. He did get hit by a pitch, so he might be out. And I'm not sure if Arenado is going to be back tomorrow either. However, I think just the fact that how elite Gray's been, it was a one-run game today. I do think St. Louis has enough firepower to get through and get the win. I'll take them on the money line. I got 135, about 125. It's been moving towards the Pirates with the streak of 5, but I do like the Cardinals money line tomorrow.
And you mentioned the fact that Contreras might not be able to go in this game. We saw Nolan Arenado be out in terms of the game on Tuesday as well, and yet the total went from 7.5 to 8. So I do find that to be very curious as well, and that gravitates me a little bit towards the under as well. As joining me on the show, we've got Scott Bodner. He does great work over at FantasyGuru.com. Joining me on Cashing Out, I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we dive in on this double dip, as we've got ourselves the Tigers and the Washington Nationals. Very interesting set of games, as you're going to have one game involving Captain Jack Flaherty and Mackenzie Gore. That's a relative pick'em. And then the Detroit Tigers are north of a -160 favorite with a bullpen game of Tyler Holton going up against Trevor Williams. Which of these games are you looking at, and how do you decipher this double dip where it's two very completely different pitching matchups?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna stay with the game one early again. I think I'm going to take the Tigers run line at -1.5. You can actually get plus money on this in some sites. With Detroit just being the best team in the AL, the Nationals are just railing. I don't know what's happening with this team. They're pitching around James Wood. I don't see any kind of production from the Nationals. I mean, the luckiest thing that happened to them today was the fact that they got rained in Erie and it got rained out. They're 16-24 at home. Just not a team that, you know, I can trust. I think the Tigers handle this easily. If you're looking for a prop in this game, I like Riley Green, 1.5 over total bases, or even if you want to be fancy, go with a home run prop. Trevor Williams has given up a ton of fly balls and a lot of home runs. His ERA is 5.65. So this is an opportunity. I think Detroit, their bats are going to be able to handle Williams with no problem. And I'm taking the run. I think that the 1.5 is fine, especially if you can get plus money on that.
Yeah, but it's been really intriguing what we've seen out of Trevor Williams, because he doesn't necessarily give out a lot of walks. The ball's been staying in the yard for him for the most part, but he's just giving up contact upon contact upon contact. So that has really been ailing him. And with regards to San Diego Padres, they've been slumping a little bit as well. Robert Suarez has blown quite a few saves for them, so that's been a little bit less than savory. Their first game against the Phillies, that's going to be Nick Pivetta versus Mick Abel. That's going to be a relative pick-em. And then game number two with Dylan Cease, who has really struggled, by the way. They are about a plus 130 or so underdog. Which of these games are you looking at most, and how do you take a look at this Padres versus Phillies double dip?
Yeah, as I'm going back to another home favorite here with Phillies, minus 111, I can find. I do like Pivetta to be able to handle most of these Philly bats, but I just think that, you mentioned it, I mean, the Padres bullpen have just been so bad and given up so many leads. So I do think that Abel is going to be fine. He's still young, but 2-1, 3.47 ERA, and he does strike out guys. So I think you can back the Phillies on this one. Schwarber and Turner have just been, you know, unbelievable. I think Schwarber's kind of getting down to that slump, but Turner has been unbelievable all year. I mean, he's going to potentially lead the league in hits, if not batting average. He keeps it up over there in the National League. So I do like the Phillies today. But if you want to take a prop on Pivetta, the Phillies do like to swing and miss. If you can get Pivetta at 4.5, maybe even 5.5 for strikeouts, I think that's something that you can hit too.
And with Nick Pivetta, he's been able to do an exceptional job with regards to strikeouts. What has always killed him has been the deep ball. You take a look at his home and road splits on a little bit more of a pitcher-friendly ballpark out there in San Diego, and it is quite a night-and-day difference with him. And we've got about 90 seconds left here, Scott. Anything else that you might be taking a look at in terms of the Wednesday card, as we've got a very expansive one with no shortage of options, to say the least?
Yeah, I mean, there are some interesting matchups as we go into the doubleheader. The one thing I like to look at is the fatigue factor in these doubleheaders. So as we move on to the later games, these contests, how much the bullpen is going to be used in the earlier games. So if you're looking at some of the games, usually more runs, maybe taken over in some of these doubleheader games. The Brewers, you mentioned it, the Brewers-Mets game could be an interesting game. Especially in that ballpark with the weather being hot and muggy. And then also the Phillies, that ballpark does play well for those right-handers and left-handers, especially once it gets muggy too. So I think those two games, maybe the overs, if you can get them 8.5, maybe even get them at 9, I think that's a possibility. But I mean, that's, I do love the early games. I think a lot of home favorites tomorrow, and with the stronger pitchers on the side, I think just one of those games where we're getting into the midseason and some of these pitchers are kind of taking form. So that's where I'm kind of leaning tomorrow.
I like those leans. Scott, you're doing a tremendous job breaking down this great game of baseball over at Fantasy Guru, and really do appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, no problem. Have a great night. Good luck tomorrow.
Was great to be able to talk some baseball with Scott, and coming up next, it's a game that's sweeping the nation. Greg's Random NFL Football Roulette, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Was great to be able to talk some baseball with Scott Bonder, who does great work over at FantasyGuru.com. We've got ourselves a big slate of baseball coming up for this Wednesday. 18 games in total. Trust me, you're going to be getting plenty of breakdowns here, but we did have the NFL betting guide here at VSiN come out. It is absolutely glorious. So many people put so much great work into it. You've got futures plays. You've got breakdowns for every single NFL team in there, and we're doing a little bit of a special of our own with the shows that I'm hosting, because we've got a nice stretch of shows here, and I figured, you know what? I've got 16-plus shows to do. How about if we do two team previews a night every night for the next 16 nights? place. This is night number 7 of the extravaganza, and we're calling it Greg's Random Football Roulette, because what I do is I go to random.org. We have every team listed that I've yet to break down. Hit the randomize button, and that's the team that we're going to be breaking down. I don't even know what's going to be coming, so how about if we see what the roulette wheel, aka random.org, another shout out for them, spits out here, and let's play Greg's Random Football Roulette.
It's time to spin the wheel and see where it lands. This is Greg's Random Football Roulette.
All right, are we going to get the car? Are we going to get a whammy? Are we going to be going bankrupt? We hit the button and, ooh, this is a team that I'm very bullish on. The Baltimore Ravens, a team that probably should have been in the Super Bowl this past year, but an unfortunate Mark Andrews drop, well, that had them dropping. So that was very interesting to say the least. Right now, you're seeing that win total at an 11.5. I believe that this is the best team in the AFC. I think that the Baltimore Ravens are going to be going to the Super Bowl. And if they don't get the job done now, when are they going to? Because the Kansas City Chiefs, I believe, are going to have a good year. Like, I think that the Chiefs are still going to be rock solid. I think that the Chiefs go over their season win total. It's a Ric Flair mentality. In order to be the man, you've got to beat the man. And in every single year, the Patrick Mahomes has been in the AFC as a starter. The Chiefs have made the AFC title game. They made the Super Bowl all but once. Obviously, they are the team to beat. But I mean, you take a look at this Baltimore Ravens team. Right now, that win total is 11.5. The division odds are minus 140. And I think that that's very, very solid right there. Like, I just don't see how they lose the division. I recognize that the Pittsburgh Steelers got a little bit better with the Minkah Fitzpatrick and swap of what we got yesterday as well. So, I mean, there's a little bit of something there. They bring in Jalen Ramsey, by the way. I was bringing on the name there for a second, but they bring in Jalen Ramsey. But, yeah, I'm not feeling Aaron Rodgers. The Cleveland Browns are the doo-doo Browns. They are not going to be going anywhere whatsoever. And if you think that the Cincinnati Bengals can win the division, you be my guest, because I think that the Ravens are going to be running roughshod through this division. Heck, their toughest game might be week number one. Week number one, they have to play against the Buffalo Bills, as we know, a rematch of what we saw last season in the postseason, and that is going to be on Sunday Night Football. I'm thinking that that's going to be a little bit of a tough game. That's going to be on the road against the Bills. I'm thinking that they might be starting 0-1. And I mean, it's just like last year when they had to play that game to start the year against the Kansas City Chiefs. They were a like literal inch away from being able to win that game. The toe was on the line, and that denied a touchdown from Lamar Jackson late in that game. But I do think that that's going to be a hard-fought game. I do think that they lose that game, though, to the Buffalo Bills to start things off. But then you got the Cleveland Browns. They should be able to knock off the Cleveland Browns at home. If they don't, then we've got some massive issues, so that puts them at 1-1. And then you play against the Lions, but this is a home game, and I just genuinely think that this is a better team in the Baltimore Ravens than the Detroit Lions. So we're going to give them a win there. That starts them off at 2-1. And then you go on the road against Kansas City Chiefs. Again, roll the dice game there. If this were a home game, I'd be leaning towards the Ravens. On the road, you do lean to the Kansas City Chiefs. So I do think that that actually starts them off at 2-2, but then you reel off the wins. At home against the Texans is a W. At home against against the Rams is a W. So you're now at 4-2 heading into the bye against the Bears. Yep, you got that one. I recognize that it's on the road against the Dolphins, but I mean, even that road game, a little bit of short week on Thursday Night Football, think that they get the job done there. On the road against the Vikings, win. On the road against the Browns, win. Home against the Jets, W. Against the Bengals on Thanksgiving, I think that's going to be a fun turkey day out there in the lovely city of Baltimore. That's a win. Against the Steelers at home is a win. They play against the Bengals once again. I think that they get the job done again. Against the Patriots at home, I think that they get a W. Could slip up here against the Green Bay Packers on the road. That's a tough week 17 game. Obviously, Baltimore is built to be able to play in snow. You've got Derrick Henry and company, but I think that's one where they might lose. And as a matter of fact, the teams I picked in the VSiN betting guide to make the Super Bowl, the Baltimore Ravens and the Green Bay Packers. And I actually do have the Green Bay Packers winning the Super Bowl. I'm not just saying that because I'm from the state of Wisconsin. I firmly believe that this is the Green Bay Packers year. I think that they're going to ascend. I do think that that game is a loss. And then on the road against the Steelers, at this point, you don't even need it. You've already got 12 plus wins on the board for this team. So I mean, they might be resting starters, but I mean, if they need to go for the one seed, they'll go for the one seed. They'll get a win. If they've already got the one seed locked up, they will take the L. So I do think that this is going to be a big giant year for the Ravens, and with the Baltimore Ravens, just such a balanced team. Like, I mean, my goodness, this is a bunch that was really able to come on strong with their defense towards back half of the season last year after, I mean, it was horrible to begin the season. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It was absolutely horrible, but I mean, the best deodorant for that stink was Lamar Jackson and the fact that he had 41 touchdowns of 4 interceptions and somehow didn't win the MVP. Like, we talk about Lamar Jackson and the fact that he won those MVPs. He had a better year last year than when he actually won the MVP. And sometimes that's what's wrong with these awards, because sometimes you get the award and it's not necessarily warranted. It's because it's your first time and everything like that. And it felt like they gave it to Josh Allen just because it's like, we need to give it to Josh Allen at some point. Even though Lamar Jackson, in my opinion, was the best player in all of football. Like, I know that you can say what you will about Josh Allen being able to hone it in with the turnovers. And I mean, the Buffalo Bills were really good last year. That's not to say that Josh Allen was bad. I mean, Josh Allen had an amazing year last year. I just felt like Lamar Jackson was even more amazing. And he put up absolutely silly numbers for the team. And you can say what you will about having support, but I mean, when you have the support, you have to use it. And he did a very good job with Derrick Henry being able to put up his monster year. He was able to get to 1,900 yards. He was absolutely incredible as well. And this is a nice locked and loaded team in terms of giving him weapons. I recognize that Mark Andrews had that drop in the playoffs. That was oh so unfortunate. You know that he's going to be able to bounce back from that. I mean, that's just one of those things that happens. And I mean, even when you don't have Mark Andrews out there, you've got Isaiah Likely. Likely was able to step up towards the beginning part of the year last year. You feel good about him. Now, I will say you're rolling the dice a little bit with Zay Flowers being able to step up once again. He had 1,000 yards last season. We'll see what he's going to be able to do for an encore, but I think that Rashad Bateman is going to be able to take some strides forward. Been a little bit disappointed by him, but I do think that he rises up. He gives you a little bit more. DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, is he on the back half of his career? Absolutely he is, but I think you pair him up with Lamar Jackson in this offense. I think that's exactly what the doctor ordered for the C-man. This is just a rock-solid offensive line. Like, we talk about all the skill position players and everything like that for the Ravens. The reason why they're able to shine the way that they do is because you've got a left tackle like a Ronnie Stanley that you know is just about as reliable as it gets in the NFL. And this is a nice revamped defense. You've got Kyle Van Noy along that front seven. He was able to rack up 12.5 sacks last season. Absolutely love what I saw out of him, and I do think that he's going to be able to continue to elevate this Baltimore Ravens defense moving forward. Obviously, it was a little bit rough for the Ravens to begin the season last year, but I mean, a little bit of a byproduct of the reason why the Ravens were just so rough on defense towards the first half of the season. Think about the opponents that they had to play last season as well, and that's a big reason why you do want to take a look at some of those early season numbers with a little bit of a grain of salt, and you want to realize, all right, there's a reason why the Ravens were able to step up a little bit more on defense, because we were all talking about, oh, this Ravens defense is so bad and everything like that, but I mean, a big reason why is that you have to play against the Kansas City Chiefs on the road in week number one. You had to play against the Dallas Cowboys when they were fully healthy. You had to play against the Buffalo Bills. You had to play against the Bengals. That happened in the first 5 weeks of the season, and then you play against the Washington Commanders, and then it softens up when you're playing against teams like the Steelers, the Cleveland Browns. So, I mean, it was very much a byproduct of the competition that they were playing, in my opinion. I don't necessarily think that this is like the number one defense in the NFL or something like that. I'm not going to sell you some sort of a bag of goods there, but I do think that for the Baltimore Ravens, this is going to be a team that's going to be very rock solid. They're going to be able to do a nice job of rushing the passer. And I do think that the secondary is going to be able to get a little bit better with the fact that they bring in Jaire Alexander as well. Recognize that he had a down year last year with the Green Bay Packers, has dealt with a little bit of injury over the last few seasons. But I think that this guy is a clear elevator for this Baltimore Ravens defense. I love the fact that they were able to pick him up. And I do think that this is a Ravens team that it's theirs to lose out there in the AFC this season. Because you do have a down team, in my opinion, with the Kansas City Chiefs, still going to be rock solid. But this is a Baltimore Ravens team that they have been right on the doorstep a few different times. I feel like this is a year where they finally get the job done. Heck, it very could have easily been last year. If it wasn't for one drop pass by Mark Andrews, I feel like they would have been able to do that. So I do think that this is going to be a big year for the Baltimore Ravens. I've got them making it all the way to the Super Bowl. So we are looking fantastic on that front. What else we're looking fantastic on is this great game of baseball. We had some rainouts on Tuesday, and that means that we've got a very expansive board here for this Wednesday. We've got 18 games in total. Let's start breaking some of those down on the flip side right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always fun to be doing some random football roulette. Big breakdown for the Baltimore Ravens there in the last segment. I believe that that team is going to the Super Bowl. If you'd like them to be able to win the AFC outright, I do think that there's some good value there. I think that they fall short in the Super Bowl to the Green Bay Packers. Not going to lie to you, but you know what? For Baltimore, I think that they are in for a big year, and hopefully we're in for a big Wednesday on the MLB betting card, as we've got 18 games in total. A little bit difficult to be able to gauge some of these double dips, but it's always difficult to be gauging the wind over there at Wrigley Field, and very interesting what we're seeing in terms of this total. So let's break it down here. 975, 976 on the card. It is the Cubs playing host to the Cleveland Guardians, as Tanner Bibee is on the bump for Cleveland, and Shota Imanaga goes for the Cubs. Now, what's interesting about this total is that now we have seen two books throw up this total over the last, we're going to call it about 30 or so minutes. It's opening up at a 7.5, and when it comes to the Cubs, their money line is between minus 155 to a minus 165, plus 134 to a plus 140 is that number on the Guardians. When I wrote this up, I was utilizing the initial FanDuel opener. They opened this total up at 9. So if you play your cards right, sometimes with these Wrigley Field openers, you can find yourself a whole bunch of value. And I mean, that 9 was just a bad number in my opinion. Now, I also think that the 7.5 has went too low though too, because now you're able to get great value. A 5-3 game is a winner for you now with regards to the total line. From everything I'm seeing in terms of the wind, it's not going to be as humid in Wrigley as we have seen in past weeks, but still right around like 80 degrees. So it's not like it's like super duper cold or anything like that, but there's not a ton of wind that is going to be happening in this game. Once you get to first pitch, you might get some gusts of up to like 8 or so miles per hour, but it's not like this is going to be some sort of blustery game. It's not fully blowing in as well. It's a little bit more of a directional wind, so I mean, this should be a relatively like net neutral sort of situation. If you're taking a look at it, maybe it's a little bit of a hindrance to the offense, but this isn't one of those games like where we saw 2 weeks ago where things were blowing out. It was 100 million billion degrees, and the Seattle Mariners and the Cubs for that entire series scored about a trillion runs. We are not seeing any sort of situation like that. And for Shota Imanaga, he's probably doing for a little bit of regression. He had a great first start off the injured list going up against the St. Louis Cardinals. He was able to go 5 scoreless innings. He's right now rocking a sub 265 ERA, but fielding independence is about 1.5 higher. He is giving up 1.4 home runs per 9 innings, albeit relatively small sample size. He's only made 9 starts this far this season, and he's done a great job of reducing on the walks, fewer than 2.5 walks per 9 innings, but he doesn't necessarily get a lot of strikeouts either. He's been getting fewer than 7 strikeouts per 9. Now, the good news for him, the Cleveland Guardians' bottom of the lineup is not good. You've got Stephen Kwan, who's hitting just below a 295. You've been able to have Jose Ramirez give you 13-plus bombs. He's hitting above a 300. Even Carlos Santana, for lack of a better term, has been able to move the line, but you've got a lot of guys here, like Davis Schneeman, Bo Naylor, Nolan Jones, throwing there Will Wilson. All these guys hitting a 225 or lower. Heck, Kyle Manzardo has been able to give you 13 home runs. He's hitting less than a 225. It got so bad that they had to send Brian Rocchio along John Kezzie Noel down to the minor league level because they just weren't producing solid at-bats. And for the Cleveland Guardians, this is not the same bullpen that we've seen in past years. Hunter Gaddis is now rocking north of a 375 ERA. Now, they are getting Eric Sobrowski back off the injury list, and he was solid for them last year. So I like Eric Sobrowski, what he's able to bring to the table, but I mean, man, this has just not been the same team that they've been in past years. Jacob Junis has not necessarily been great in that bullpen. Manuel Clase is starting to look a little bit better as a closer, but you need to get to the closer in order to be able to utilize that. Meanwhile, for the Chicago Cubs, how this team has been so good with their bullpen, I have no idea. But if you take a look at things ever since May 1st, this was going into the day on Tuesday, the Chicago Cubs bullpen since May 1st, 2.40 ERA. Next best team, 3.22 with the San Francisco Giants, 0.82 points clear of every other team in all of baseball. And it's a bunch of unsung guys. These are a bunch of like cast-off starters. Drew Pomeranz, Chris Flexen, Daniel Palencia, he was never really a starter, but I mean, pretty much everyone else was. Brad Keller, all these guys give you a sub 2.75 ERA. It has been rather remarkable what we've seen out of them. And then you additionally have the number two offense in all the National League in terms of run creation. You've got Pete Armstrong, Say Suzuki, both give you an earth of 20 bombs. And these are not solo shots because we've got someone like a Nico Horner is hitting a 290. Michael Bush, double figure amount of bombs at 350 on base. You've had Kyle Tucker provide 17 home runs, north of a 380 on base. Just weapons upon weapons for the Chicago Cubs team. And for Tanner Bibee, he has not been great on the road this year. For Tanner Bibee, when he's been at home, sub 275 ERA, he's not giving up the deep ball. When he's on the road, about two home runs allowed for nine innings, and he's posting up an ERA that's north of 475. So that's been a little bit of an issue for you. And Tanner Bibee just not getting the swings and misses that he has in past years as well. Down below eight strikeouts per nine innings. So I do look at this spot as being a very good one for the Chicago Cubs. If you're looking to lay a run half, you're actually finding this at a plus 140. I got a better number when I posted up the total, but I mean, on the run line, I was looking at a plus 125. Now that we've got a plus 140, all the better there. So I do like that run line of the Chicago Cubs. And again, I did write up the under at nine. I just can't advise that at a 7.5 because I do think that the Cubs, they get to Tanner Bibee, and I do think that they get to him relatively hard. So I do like the over of 7.5, and I do like that run line of the Chicago Cubs as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Eaps Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. What else I love is that you're able to get action here if you're looking for it, because we are in the dog days of summer. Baseball is the main game in town. You've got some WNBA, and hey, if you're looking to bet on hot dog eating contests, congratulations, the 4th of July is coming up soon, so you get to bet on hot dogs in the next few days. But that said, if you're looking for something else to bet on, you want to head on over to First Bet, because First Bet, they've got you covered with all the action out there on the track. You're able to sign up for access to exclusive promotions and bet on hundreds of thrilling horse races every single day right from your phone or computer. Visit firstbet.com. That's the number one stbet.com, and utilize that promo code of VSIN200, VSIN200. That scores you 20% rebate on all of your wagers for the first 60 days up to $200. Don't miss out. Start betting today over at firstbet.com, number one, stbet.com. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, and certainly we're going to have some fun out there in Chicago. How about if we have some fun out there in Colorado, as a guy that I think might be able to challenge Tariq Skubal for the Cy Young Award is right now going for the Houston Astros. 977, 978 on the card. Like, talk all you want about Tariq Skubal, and he should be the leader in the clubhouse for the Cy Young Award. But let's also talk about Hunter Brown, who's on the bump for the Houston Astros, going against Austin Gomber, who hopes to not get gombered up for the Colorado Rockies. Right now with the Astros, they are about a minus 240 to a minus 250 favorite. If you're looking to lay a run half, that's going to be a nice, hearty minus 165. Total on this game is 11. I'm willing to lay that hearty run line. I'm hoping that we see some minus 2.5s out there, so that way I'm able to reduce the juice even more, because Hunter Brown has been nothing short of magnificent. And why we're not talking more about Hunter Brown is a crying shame. Like, this guy has been absolutely out of this world this year. And it's not even like he doesn't have like the good numbers in terms of strikeouts or anything like that. He's getting 10.8 strikeouts at 2.6 walks per 9 innings, strikeout to walk ratio of 4.2, 174 ERA, 269, very nice fielding independent. He has been just doing it time and time again. He has allowed 4 runs in his last 5 starts, and he has been able to go north of 5 innings in all but one of them. Like, this guy has been rocking and rolling. He's doing it without a lot of run support either. Like, the Astros have went 5-0 in his last 5 starts. They have scored north of 3 runs in one of those games. Like, the Astros offense is letting him down, and they're still winning these games because Hunter Brown has been that good for them. And then additionally, you've got a bullpen for this Astros team that is locked, loaded, ready for bear. Now, if you had the run line like myself on on Tuesday. That was a little bit brutal, so you do want to be factoring that in. But I mean, still, you've had the Bryans, Brian King, Brian Abreu, throw in there Bennett Sosa, Stephen Okert, the closer, and Josh Hader, who we needed him to not give up a home run in the ninth inning on Tuesday, and he gave up a home run in the ninth inning on Tuesday. But all these guys entered into the series with a sub-3.25 ERA, and they're dealing with a little bit of ailment to Jeremy Pena right now, a little bit less than tremendous, but Isak Paredes has been very good for the Houston Astros, 16-plus bombs thus far this season. Jose Altuve, not quite looking like the Jose Altuve of old, but he's been able to give you 11 home runs as well, so he's been able to give you a bit more of something. The big thing for this team is they just need more consistency out of Christian Walker and Yunier Diaz in terms of moving line, getting on base. Both of these guys have been a sub-290 with the guys around base. But for the Colorado Rockies, Hunter Goodman has been able to give you 15 home runs. But this is still a Colorado Rockies team that's averaging about 4.1 runs per game this season when they're at home in terms of their home run creation. It's actually bottom 10 in the big leagues. And Coors Field is supposed to be a cheat code for offense. It has not been for this Colorado Rockies team. Now, you also have a Ryan McMahon, who's done a nice job being able to get on base. He's been able to give you quite a few bombs, 8 bombs north of a 350 on base when he's been at home as well. And this is a Rockies bullpen that hasn't been terrible. Jimmy Erget, Victor Vodnik, Jake Bird, these guys have been able to give you a sub-4 ERA. So I did think that the total is set too high, despite the fact that Comber has given up 10 runs over his last two starts. I did set my total a little bit south of a 10.5, so especially getting an 11, I like the under. Hopefully we can get -2.5 on this run line, but still do like the Astros to dominate. Go and get this thing done on the run line as well. And coming up next, let's talk some NBA free agency and about a very massive Wednesday baseball card right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.